Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
The current events that have been taking place in the world these days. And as I continue in a series that I'm kind of doing a postscript to, but basically just a continuation of, because I'm looking at some previous current events in the last year, actually in the last few months. But anyway, these events, of course, are part of my series that I've entitled One World Religion, One World Government, and One World in Deception. And these events, of course, are just stepping stones in the whole process of the building of the One World Religion and the One World Government, I believe. I left off reading from the Parliament of World Religions website's article called Spiritual Activists Confront the Woes of the Planet, the 2018 Parliament of the World Religions, which basically was a summary that really was posted or was written in Parabola magazine, which is a New Age type magazine, and the original article can be seen there. But the Parliament of World Religions, since they hosted this event, they put this on their site so that they could give people a summary of their event. And I read part of that article, and we commented on Matthew Fox, who was one of the real movers and shakers over the many years in promoting all types of heretical ideas and beliefs that fit into the New Age type religion and New Age movement. So I want to go back to that article now and go from there, and then we will look at some other things. Now, as I said, this article was a summary, so let me move to page 5 of this article. As the tenets of religion can invigorate society, so must the realities of science infuse religion. At another panel, Kim Kimmel, president of the Union of Concerned Scientists, pointed out that faith leaders have a unique opportunity to combat apathy toward climate science, since they are able to confront injustice, inspire action, and keep hope alive when obstacles seem daunting. He urged attendees to make their buildings sustainable. There's a word we hear a lot. Preach about climate change. There's a phrase we hear about a lot. And encourage their congregations to demand that governments act to keep the global temperature from rising beyond 1.5 centigrade. In the red tent, a corner of the convention center converted into a woman's sacred space with sumptuous scarlet hangings, carpets, and pillows, Tibetan Buddhist teacher Pema Khandro offered a meditation on the White Tara, the female Buddha who promotes peace and averts war and violence. I didn't even know there was a female Buddha, but apparently there was and is, or was and is not, or take your pick. Anyway, I'm getting a little silly here. Moving on in the article, at the foot of one bank of elevators, the climate ribbon display invited people to write on a ribbon something they would regret losing to global warming, tie it among others, and take with them the message of someone else. Okay. And, you know, I might add, talking about scientists who believe in global warming and climate change, we don't hear much about those who don't, because there are those who don't believe that, you know, these problems are being caused by man or solely by man or whatever. But anyway, I'm not a scientist, and that's not my my purpose today to go into a lot of that. But of course we will see this, and as I've mentioned in my past podcasts, the push to bring about really a move towards a world government in the name of global warming, climate change, and all of the problems that is supposedly bringing, you know, and whatever else can be used for people to control other people in a world government type setting. We know the Antichrist will use it all as part of his plan when he comes. But he's getting help in putting the pieces together slowly but surely. Or maybe I should say quickly but surely, the way things are going these days. Anyway, on into the article we read. Altogether, the many offerings of the 2018 Parliament of the World Religions made clear four truths for our time. Compassion must be visible, not just thoughts and prayers. It says at the interfaith panel, Sacred Arts, that I led, composed of Jewish, Hindu, Wicca, and Dina, or Navajo, Cheyenne women, discussing how to bring faith practices into communities suffering from ecological problems, we ended with a ceremony in which participants walked together singing through the city to make an offering to shimmering, silvery, polluted Lake Ontario. So let's make an offering to Lake Ontario. Okay. Thoughts and prayers alone will not suffice. No, we've got to get in there and do our social justice best. Anyway, change will take place only if we put our ethics on display. Number two, the sufferings of some make all of us ache. All right. Climate change is rampant and knows no boundaries. It is imperative that those of us who are touched by this reality become bolder, more inclusive, and more generous in order to help cultivate fairness and inclusion for all. And then a third offering of this world religion in this summary that I'm reading from here. Spirituality is not just solemn. Although the subjects discussed at this parliament were grave, it was clear over and over that spiritual questioning and practice are cranky, funny, joyful, and occasionally wild. I can't imagine that. Rabbi Daniel Hartman gave an engrossing talk on putting God second. Well, there's a new one. Well, most people do that. A lot of people do that all the time anyway. Wondering aloud why the God of the Torah had to be so testy and temperamental, and lauding Abraham for advising the Supreme Being to think twice before destroying Sodom. The Sufi dances of universal peace expanded and contracted like organic things as people gliding past on the escalators became captivated by the singing and dancing, decided to stay, and were included in the circle of celebrants. The cosmic mass concluded with everyone dancing to techno music. I guess that was Matthew Fox's cosmic mass that he conducted. And then it says, the fourth point, these are all our people. The parliament opened up the understanding that we have more in common than we thought with others who believe differently, and we can learn, connect, and very much like one another, if only we are willing to open up and find out what that stranger is seeking from within the private, mysterious part of the human we often called soul. As singer Antoinette Ruchadada Hall put it, there is not one religion on earth that couldn't benefit from learning something from every other religion. And I might add, unless it's biblical Christianity, because not going to probably get a pat on the back for that one. Anyway, this is the end of that article. And because our old buddy Jim Wallace of Sojourners was one of the featured speakers at the parliament, I wanted to insert here an article that came up recently that he's a part of. And this is not directly applying to the Parliament of World Religions, but again, current events, right? And he's often in the news. Of course, the left-wing media would often favor him. This was actually the Christian Post, which is more conservative, although, some of the people who contribute to that, I have problems with some of the charismatic, let's say, excesses that are involved with some of the contributors. But anyway, that's where this article came from. And the article, is entitled Michael Curry and Church Leaders Call for a National Fast Amid Threat of Constitutional Crisis. But again, my emphasis in the article is the fact that Jim Wallace is one of the main participants in this activity, this event, and in this article. So let me read a little bit about that. Episcopal Church Presiding Bishop Michael Curry speaks during a prayer service unveiling the new declaration reclaiming Jesus. You know, these liberals are always trying to reclaim Jesus. First, they've got to find Jesus, the real Jesus. First, they've got to surrender to the real Jesus. And then, I guess they could reclaim him, but, he doesn't really need to be reclaimed. But this is what they would, how they would prefer to term it, since their view of Christianity is one that I think is quite skewed and aberrant and just not real. fake Christianity, frankly. So, reclaiming Jesus, a confession of faith in a time of crisis, at the National City Church in Washington, D.C., of course, where they can get a lot of press coverage in D.C. there. Curry is flanked by Sojourner's founder, Jim Wallace. And this is, of course, a photo that that's being described in what I'm reading there. Now, Episcopal Church leader Michael Curry, Sojourner's founder Jim Wallace, and a group of left-leaning church leaders, you think, are calling for Christians nationwide to pray, fast, and apply Lenten spiritual practices to prepare for a constitutional crisis. All right, going to pray and fast because of this constitutional crisis. What? I guess because they're afraid that the liberals are trying to subvert a sitting president? Oh, no, wait a minute. I got the wrong page here. The crisis, I would say, really comes at the hands of the left. Yes, there's a constitutional crisis hanging over our heads, but I believe it is at the hands of the left wing, and even involved, of course, with the left wing so-called Christians, progressives, whatever they call themselves these days. Wallace, joined by Curry, a supporter of same-sex marriage, that's real biblical, right? And about 20 other leaders who wrote the Reclaiming Jesus, a Confession of Faith in a Time of Crisis declaration, launched last year against racism, misogyny, xenophobia, and the immorality of political leaders, issued the new call in time for Lent. In early January, the informal circle of Reclaiming Jesus elders gathered for a retreat in Washington, D.C., get this, for a time of discernment. Oh, if only there was a time of discernment, if only these folks would gain some discernment. But, you know, alas, that can only come to those who are born again, or at least spiritual discernment. So, you know, pray for Michael Curry and Jim Wallace. As I always say, you know, pray for these people. That they're wolves. They're leading people astray. But every once in a while, one of them will actually see the light and come out of the deception and the darkness that they're in. Okay, during this time, a document published in mid-February titled A Call to Prayer, Fasting in Action, this was in mid-February, was conceived to encourage Christians to apply Lenten spiritual practices to our lives and to the dangers facing our democracy. There was a real sense among elders that we could be headed toward a constitutional crisis. Wallace, the founder, the progressive evangelical social justice organization Sojourners, and critic of President Donald Trump, told the Christian Post in a phone interview. If there were executive overreaches or oversteps, you know, the elders believe that they are witnessing a national crisis, you know. So, you know, if there were an executive overreach, and of course we know the Mueller report's in and all that, but anyway, they go on and on with this stuff. They don't let it go. Because, you know, Trump's not perfect, but he's pro-Israel. He's pro-Christian, I mean true Christian, and you know, so naturally we should expect that the children of Satan would attack him, as they do. Anyway, the elders believe that they are witnessing a national crisis and are calling for prayer, fasting, humility, and repentance. You know, and I put there, what happened to if there were executive overreaches? Well, there weren't, but, you know, and they didn't know that there weren't, but they're already calling for it, you know. Anyway, now I think it's great to call for prayer and fasting, humility and repentance, you know, for people to turn to God, to turn to Christ. That's great. But to turn to political left-wing expediency, not so good. That will help destroy our country probably quicker than anything. We call upon church leaders, pastors, and local congregations. We also call upon church leaders to stand up to the misuse and abuse of political power. In the protection of the constitutional checks and balances of government and the common good. And they always only see that one way. They do not see all of the problems on the left concerning these very things. I wrote definitely in my notes, definitely needed because of the anarchy of the left wing and of the Democrats. Abortion, homosexual marriage, promoting Islam, you know, this religion that's out to destroy, annihilate God's chosen people, the Jews. you know, yes, we definitely need to deal with these people who are abusing and misusing political power in the name of their anarchy. But anyway, I don't like being overly political, but more and more as we see the building of a world government for the Antichrist that he will once reign over at one time for a short season, and a one world religion, you know, you can't help but see the political incursions that would be involved in that and that are being involved in that. Anyway, again, from this article, we call on clergy to pray and preach the gospel message, and I've put also known as the social gospel message, and lead their churches to serve as the conscience of the nation. And let me just give a big laugh out loud there. You know, we call on clergy to pray and preach the gospel. See how they redefine terms? See how they mislead? See how, you know, Satan's children, these deceivers, these wolves, deceive by referring to their gospel, their false gospel, as the gospel message. The gospel message is very easy to find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it's not the social gospel message. I hate to break it to them. Anyway, it says signatories of the new call include, and I wrote, of course, otherwise known as the usual suspects, Tony Campolo, co-founder of the Red Letter Christians, Amos Brown, chair of the National Baptist Convention Social Justice Commission, former megachurch pastor and Obama advisor Joel Hunter, Richard Hamm, former president of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, very liberal, of course, and Ron Sider, the president emeritus of Evangelicals for Social Action. Also included is Barbara Williams Skinner, president of Skinner Leadership Institute, who formerly served on the White House Council for Faith-Based and Public Partnerships during the Obama administration. Wow, his name seems to be coming up. You know, Obama, the one who promoted the Islamic false religion, and well, anyway, I won't go there. Let's just say this is where they're coming from, folks. This is what they believe is the true gospel, the gospel message that needs to be preached. Anyway, a couple more pages of this article. I want to get through this. Wallace believes that the new call to prayer and fasting was timed well. Shortly after the new call was released in mid-February, Trump announced a national state of emergency to access billions of dollars without congressional approval to allow the federal government to build additional barriers along the U.S.-Mexico border. And I, you know, my comments are, yeah, you know, that's what we need is a new Tower of Babel. We need globalism. We need to open all the borders, right? That's what the left would have. That's what these wolves would have you believe is a good thing, is not to have borders. God in Genesis 11, of course, and I don't want to harp on that, but we know that God stopped the original globalization at the attempted building of the Tower of Babel, and he will eventually destroy the globalization that comes that we read about in the book of Revelation. But there will be a season, a short season, that it will exist. Additionally, Wallace says, Special Counsel Robert Mueller could release his long-awaited report into Russia's involvement. And, of course, he did, and nothing to see there. There is a liturgical timing for us, Wallace said. One of the ways we thought to prepare was to do prayer and fasting. I think a number of us elders don't want to be caught up in the responses of left or right. Oh, no. Right. That's why there's so many Barack Obama supporters mentioned here that are a part of his collection of usual suspects. If there was a constitutional crisis of some kind, it would be very controversial, very political, and very partisan. So that's why they don't want to get caught up in the responses of left or right. I don't know if he hears himself. But anyway, Wallace explained that the new call for prayer and fasting is about making sure churches send out followers of Jesus rather than political partisans during a moral political crisis. I'm sorry, folks. What hypocrisy. It comes easy when you deal with folks that Romans chapter 1 described as having reprobate minds, who claim to speak for God, and yet are totally hypocrites when they promote their left-wing political biases and agendas. It says, it is things like that. It says, okay, for example, the Mueller report. I am being very attentive to the Mueller report because it is going on now for 2 years. If the Mueller report was blocked somehow, and it wasn't, or wasn't able to be read by the public, there could be a strong response. There's their talking points, of course. This sounds like something you'd hear on CNN or MSNBC, of course, from Mr. Wallace. There could be a strong response to that. Wallace continued, and I wrote, spoken like a true Democrat and a true wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, the final page of the article. If these hypotheticals occur with the release of the Mueller report, Wallace argues that many Americans would perceive there to be a constitutional crisis. And, of course, many wouldn't, you know, but many on the left would conceive no matter what happens, as long as Trump continues to be the legally duly elected president, then there's got to be a constitutional crisis, I believe, in their minds. Now, there will be a lot of partisan response from the faith-based. He says, I would rather see us respond as Jesus followers rather than Democrats or Republicans. Once again, I say hypocrisy. I can't believe that he says that with a straight face. Wallace added that the testimony given by former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen before Congress last month implicates Trump in a number of criminal behaviors. And I wrote, and he has credibility. He is, of course, a proven liar. And but then, you know, but then that's Wallace's whole constituency. That's the whole left wing. That's the anarchy party. Truth isn't really important, or at least not the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Anyway, if some constitutional crisis were to occur as a result of the Mueller report or some other cause, the Reclaiming Jesus elders would likely decide over the conference call to what the next steps of action will be. If, and you know, there's more ifs. I tell you, there's more ifs in this article almost than you hear if you watch the Ancient Aliens program on the History Channel. You know, I mean, every other sentence is it possible? If it is possible, could it be? Anyway, that's what it sounds like to me. It says, I can imagine candlelight vigils and services all over the country if it were perceived that we were in national crisis. Stoking the flames, I would say. And this just sounds like a typical CNN or an MSNBC fantasy. Last May, the Reclaiming Jesus elders and hundreds of other Christians gathered in Washington, D.C. for a church service followed by a procession from the National City Church to the White House, and no doubt widely covered by the liberal-dominated MSM, or the mainstream media. That's my comments there at the end. So anyway, I made it through that article, and my blood pressure didn't get too high. I've read it before. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just, you know, I have one of those lie detectors that's kind of built into me because I have what I believe is a pretty high degree of discernment. So, you know, I kind of get pumped up when I hear stuff like that. But anyway, Wallace, of course, was one of the heroes there at the Parliament of World Religions, and so I wanted to include that recent article. Now, the next article, let's see how much time we have here, because there's a lot that's going to stem and flow out of this article. This article is called Parliament's Climate Program Represented at the UN Environment Assembly in Nairobi, Kenya. It says, as a newly accredited organization to UN Environment, the Parliament of the World's Religions was invited to attend the 4th UN Environment Assembly in Nairobi, Kenya. The United Nations Environment Assembly is the world's highest level decision-making body on the environment. It addresses the critical environmental challenges facing the world today. Understanding these challenges and preserving and rehabilitating our environment is at the heart of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Keep hearing that term, sustainable development. Okay, the Parliament, let's see. Okay, I'm going to skip that part of the article. Now, it moves on. It says, on March 15th, the Parliament partnered with the International Federation of Women in Legal Careers, the NGO CSW, and I don't know what that acronym stands for, I'm sorry, because I'm not going to address it anyway, the Temple of Understanding, which I am going to address in a future podcast, possibly get into that today, the United Methodist Women, the United Methodists, that's Hillary Clinton's church, the one that she claimed she wanted to be a pastor of, which is highly liberal, and has been in the news lately, I might add, you know, and the whole idea of whether to ordain and marry LGBTQ people in the United Methodist Church. It didn't suddenly become a topic for debate at the 2016 General Conference. The question has been part of the denominations from its beginning in 1968, said Barry E. Bryant, Associate Professor of United Methodist and Wesleyan Studies at Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary near Chicago, and it has been debated at every General Conference since 1972. Well, they're totally liberal, and Hillary Clinton, I'm sure she would have it no other way. I'm sure she would get out immediately if they weren't. But anyway, just listing the different groups that the Parliament has partnered with on March 15th, we mentioned the ones I mentioned, and now the next is the United Religions Initiative. To think about that, the United Methodist Women are partnering with the Parliament of World Religions. And we see, of course, this is a very New Age-oriented ecumenical or more interfaith-type group. Certainly not biblical Christianity. So I guess I don't need to really beat that dead horse, right? That the United Methodist Church is anything but a conservative biblical church. But anyway, another group that they partner with, who I'll also be addressing, is known as the United Religions Institute, and then also the World Peace Prayer Society. Now, you know, I'm going to give some comments about four of these groups, and three from their websites. I've already given my comments about the United Methodist Church. And so I believe what we will do here, since I only have a couple of minutes left this week on the broadcast, we will come back, and you remember that the original title of this article that came from the Parliament of World Religions website is Parliament's Climate Program Represented at the UN Environmental Assembly. So that's the real, you know, meat of the article. But I found it very interesting when I saw some of these groups that they've partnered with on March 15th, that I just had to go there and go to their websites, of course, because I was very familiar with Temple of Understanding, United Religions Initiative, and to a lesser degree, the World Peace Prayer Society. And, of course, United Methodist. So anyway, we will do that next week, as I am out of time. God bless you all. I hope you'll join with us next week. Good night.